In part one of the screencast, let's introduce XAML by using a tool including the Windows Presentation Foundation SDK that we call XAMLPad. So what you're seeing here is in the bottom pane, you see a live view of XAML. Let's go ahead and edit it. And in the top pane, what you'll see is the real-time representation of that XAML. So in this case, as I've set the background property on the page element to black, you'll notice the background changed to black. I can set this to light blue. It's now light blue. Let's go ahead and set this to a more neutral tone, and I'll set it to a light gray using hexadecimal syntax. Let's start by first displaying one of my photos from my recent vacation into Thailand and Cambodia. So we'll start by creating an image. We'll set the source property to an image that's directly on my hard drive. You'll see we're now displaying this image of a sunset. So this looks okay. Let's start. Let's do a little better, and we'll go ahead and wrap a border around our image. And you'll notice that we do this just by creating a new border element and having the image contained within it. But what I want to do is set a thickness on this border to, let's say, 10, and we'll use a white brush to draw around it. So now you'll see that we've got this new white border being drawn around it, but I've got gray space in between because the border is being stretched the entire width of the page. We can fix this by setting the horizontal and vertical alignment properties both to center on the border. And what this does is centers the border itself within the its parent, the page. So the border will now stay in the exact center of the page, as will its contents. So now we've got tight borders on the image. Let's make sure, what I want to do with this image is make it a square. So I'll change the height and width both to be 100. But you'll notice what's happening now is that we're not actually filling up the 100 by 100 space because the image is scaling and preserving its aspect ratio. We can change this by setting the stretch property. And in this case, I set it to stretch equals fill. And what this does is fills the entire entire 100 by 100 space, but we've lost the aspect ratio preservation. We can take a compromise here and set the property value to uniform to fill. And what this has done is kept the aspect ratio but ends up cropping the part of the image that doesn't fill the space. That doesn't look bad. Let's make this look a little better by, we'll add a corner radius of 10, and what that does is give us a nice little rounded corners look, very Web 2.0. And we can do a little better here by, let's go ahead and set a layout transform. And we do this using a syntax we call property element syntax. And in this case, I've got a layout transform property on the border element, and I'm setting it by using the property element syntax as you see here. So this is useful for cases in which your property is more than a simple string such as white, and rather you need to be able to set the property to be another element. So in this case, I'm setting the layout transform property to be this object called rotate transform, which has an angle property. I can change here. In this case, I've made it -5 and I've rotated the image slightly differently. So that's not looking bad for one picture, but really we do probably want to display more than one picture. And let's take this as a time to introduce some of the panels. So I'm going to go ahead and cut this out and save it to the clipboard. And we'll start by creating a stack panel. So a stack panel is a basic panel that will just stack things horizontally or vertically. So let's go ahead and paste a few copies of this image in. And you'll see now that I have these images and they're just being stacked vertically. I can change the zoom here in XAMLPad. And you'll notice that as I zoom out, we can see all these images that have been stacked vertically. Stack panel has another property called orientation, and you can set that to, instead of vertical, which is what it is now, you can set it to horizontal, and you'll notice that we are now stacking these elements horizontally. This isn't quite the look I want in my application, so I think I'm going to use a wrap panel. And what wrap panel does is it just wraps the elements onto lines. So at this width, every single photo fits on one line, but as I increase the zoom, you'll see that not all the photos fit on a line, and we end up with different line breaking. Again, we still got an orientation property here, so I can also choose to do so vertically. And you'll see as I resize here, we do rewrap. So that's a first quick intro to XAML. And now let's use what we've learned and create something more sophisticated in part two. Let's take a look at how one could create a XAML browser application using Microsoft Visual Studio. We'll first start by creating a new project. And you'll notice that we have a project type here of WinFX applications. And we'll choose a XAML browser application. These templates come and they can be installed through the Windows SDK. And this goes ahead and auto-generates a little project for us, and we'll do a little hello world here by creating the title of our application. So in this case, since I went to Thailand and Cambodia, let's just go ahead and write Thailand and Cambodia here. We'll go ahead and build and run the application, and you'll notice that we do see our text. Great. Let's go ahead and close that out and start building our UI. So we'll start by building a list box, and what we'll have in this list box is the actual images that we can choose from. I'm just going to paste the same XAML that we created in part one. But you'll notice a couple things, right? We have here a hard-coded file path, and we don't really want to use that if we're going to deploy this to the web. So let's go ahead and create a new folder for the images. And we'll, what we're going to do is we're going to add the images themselves as resources into this application. So let's go ahead and select all these images. And now we've got the images as part of the application, and let's just change the path. And what this has done is this has embedded these images as a resource for the application. And when I run, I can now see that we do have the images and we're showing it. Great. But we have lost the text. And what's happened here is we're using a grid to layout. And by default, grid only has one row and one column. And since we have multiple content, they end up overlapping each other. Let's fix that by defining a few rows. The first row we'll define with a height of auto, which means it should size to content. And the second row we'll leave blank so you can just take up the available space. Our title will take a grid.row equals 0, which means we want it in the first row because this is 0-based. And our list box, let's go ahead and set its row to be 1, which means the second row. We'll go ahead and compile and run now. And what we see is now we've seen the title, and we can also still see our list box with images. Great. Let's get a little more sophisticated, and we'll go ahead and set column definitions. And what we'll do is we'll define two columns. The first, again, we'll size to content. And the second column, we'll go ahead and let have the remaining space. Now I want the title to span across both columns, so I'll set the column span property. And let's create a placeholder here on the bottom, placeholder. And we'll tell this guy to go in the second column and second row. Go ahead, build and run this. And there we have our little demo UI. Let's add another property real quick, and I'm going to set the minimum height of this application to 400 and its minimum width to 600. And this just ensures that you know, I'm going to need some assumptions here as far as how big my UI is going to be. Now let's go ahead and fix this up a bit by opening it in Microsoft Expression Interactive Designer. So let's go ahead and open the project I've just created. And we'll open the same project created by Visual Studio, and you see here we've got our application. Let's go ahead and let's set a background on this application. I'll select the background property, and you'll see here we've got a nice little gradient. Let's change the color a bit. Actually, I kind of like purple today. And now we've got a purple gradient here. Let's zoom out a little. You'll notice we've got a purple gradient and our little layout. Our list box here isn't showing the background, so let's change its background to transparent. And okay, not looking bad. Let's go ahead and change this title to span across only two columns. And I prepared beforehand an image that we can use. We've got a map that I drew of Thailand and Cambodia. Let's go ahead and open this here. And you'll see that this is a vector drawing. And we can look at the code here, and this is just XAML itself. So you'll notice that we have a canvas with some property set on it and paths. And these paths aren't really meant to be hand-edited. I did this in a graphic design program. But what's interesting about this is I can take this this map, I can select it, copy it, and paste it straight into my application. So now it's being laid out within the grid. Let's go ahead and resize it. And I don't want to overlap this list box, so let's go ahead and add some margin up there. Let's change the width of this grid, and I'm going to do some artsy things like rotate my map slightly. And there we go. I've got a border right now set on the list box. Let's go ahead and take that off. So border thickness, set that to 0. Okay, not looking too bad. Let's go ahead and save. We can close Sparkle. And we're back in Visual Studio, and you notice that it's told us that the source file has been reloaded. We can go ahead and now build and run. And great, we see our application. We've got like a new UI, but you can imagine that, you know, if I were a real designer, if you were handing off to a real designer, you could give them some of the, you could share the same project and be able to both work on it and each have their own part here. So we're going to obviously want to show more than one file. And what I've done in order to help us here is I created an XML file we can use beforehand. So files.xml, let me go ahead and add that to the project. And this is real simple. It's just there's a files tag, and then within there there's just some custom pictures tags that'll give a title, a link to the XAML file, and then a source for the images. And let's start by displaying what we have in those images. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the within the page resources property, and this what this allows us to do is set resources that the rest of the page can use. And I'm going to create an XML data provider. Source points to the file that we just created. X key is the name that we can access this resource later on, so we'll call that files. And then XPath, this is the default XPath that I should use when accessing this data provider. And we'll see we use here's just standard XPath syntax, and you use file/pic, which gets us all the pic elements that live under the files element. And let's hook this up to the list box by first we'll go ahead and delete the image we currently have. And let's set the item source property on list box to we'll bind to the source. The static resource is files, which we just created. And in order to tell the list box what it should display, I'm going to give a display member path of @title, which again is an XPath just to the title property on this list box. If we build and run now, you will see that we now have we're now binding to the titles, but we've lost the photo representation. Let's fix that up by creating what we call a data template. So I'm going to remove this display member path, and in this resources, what I'm going to do is create a data template. And the data template will be for anything of type pic, which again is the XML tag that we have in our file. We'll paste back in our XAML that we created in round one. And now instead of using this hard-coded image path, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bind to the XPath of @source. So what this will do is for the data type of pic, we'll bind the source of the image to be source, which again you see here has the right path. Let's go ahead and build and run this. And you'll see now I'm actually displaying my images, and these are bound based on this XML file. So that's the end of part two. In the next part, we'll look at adding some rich text support into our application. In part one, we built this simple shell for a vacation viewing application. And now in part two, let's spice it up a little by adding some rich text support. So we'll start first by choosing a font we're going to use. I'm going to create a directory. We'll call it resources. And inside this resources directory, what I'm going to do is add a font that we're going to use. And this font is called Lindsay. It's by the Sender Corporation. And it is actually included in the Windows SDK and has licensing terms such that you can use it and embed it within your own applications. So we'll set this font family by referencing the directory in which the application the font file lives, and then a hash sign and the font family name. So we'll go ahead and build and run this, and you'll see we're now using the custom font. And it's got a nice personal feel. So let's take this a step further and add something a bit richer. We'll remove this placeholder text, and let's instead create a frame. And we'll point this frame source to a file called intro.xaml. Now obviously we don't have an intro.xaml yet, so let's go ahead and create a new file called intro.xaml. And in this case I'm going to use it's going to be a bit of text, so I'll use the WinFX flow document template. Go ahead and add this. And you'll see this prepares us a little flow document tag. Let's change the font family to, again, be Lindsay. And in this first paragraph, let's make the text a little bigger. Let's say, welcome to my vacation. And second paragraph here, I hope you like it. I had a great time. Let's go ahead, save, build, and run. And now you see that we have our text actually showing. Great. So I'm not going to bore you by sitting here and typing out all my stories about my vacation. So I've prepared beforehand a few files that we can use. And let's go ahead and choose these YAML files. And now I've got some files. And again, you'll notice that these are the same file names that I've used in files.xaml. So what I'd like to do is set up the frame to navigate to whatever photo has been selected in the list box. We'll do this by copying the same binding syntax I've used here. And what we're doing is we're binding to the same source that the list box is using. But in this case, I want to bind to the XPath for the href property that we defined here in files, which again is here, as you see, changmai.xaml. And in order to make sure we have the same one that is set in the list box, we'll set the isSynchronized with current item equals true here. As I go ahead and build, you'll see that now as I select different photos here, I'm going ahead and navigating between documents. Now let's take a look here, and you'll notice that we're using the built-in control that we call Flow Document Reader. And what this allows me to do is go ahead and scale and change the actual scale of the text I'm reading, along with view in different modes. So in this case, here's a two-page mode, or even a more traditional scrolling mode where I can read text in more of a web-like view. Now, this is a control that comes built in. Let's look at how we actually constructed this layout for this content, though. Go ahead and open Anchor. And again, you see we just have a flow document tag set at the top. We've set our font family. There's a few properties here that we control. So column gap, in this case, controls the amount of distance between each column. And what I've done here is I've created, within a paragraph, we have a figure at the top that displays the actual title of this document. And what the figure does is it allows me to place this content within a part of the page. So in this case, I've anchored it to the left of the side of the page, and I've told it to be the entire size of the page, of the content of the page. And you can see here, most of this markup should look fairly simple. I've got other figures that contain images, in this case, an image anchor 1, anchor 2, and I've got paragraphs full of text. And the key here is I didn't do anything very sophisticated in terms of setting up custom code to flow into columns. It just happens automatically and it's built in for me. So in the next part, we'll set up, we'll look at adding some richer content such as video in part 4. In part 3, we added some sample text and custom fonts to add some branding. Now let's do something simple by adding a movie that we can play within this application as well. So let's close out the application, and what I'll do is go ahead and add in some assets we have for video, so a single image and a movie file. And first what I'll do is let's create a new pick element here. We'll call it swimming. It'll point to swimming.xaml, and we'll use swimming.jpg. Well, we should create a new page called swimming.xaml so we actually have something to navigate to. And let's just start by putting our swimming JPEG in the page. We'll build and run again. Now you'll see that we have a new image down here, but oops, we're navigating, but we're missing the image. It turns out I messed up slightly. In this files, what we want to point is to swimming. It's not in the images directory. Or actually, let's just go ahead and put it in the images directory. Drag that to images. And we'll change our source here on swimming.xaml to images. We'll build and run again. So now we've got our thumbnail here. And here's our image. And it's taking up the entire page. We'll fix that a couple ways. One, what I'm going to do is, since it's a lower resolution image, I'm going to set the stretch direction to down only, so we don't size the image larger than its native resolution. Let's create a couple rows. The first one will just take up the entire space, and the second one will size the content. And in the second row, let's add a stack panel that's orientation horizontal, and we'll horizontally align it to the center. And we'll add a couple buttons. The first will be play. The second will be pause. And the third, The third will be stop. We'll go ahead and run this again. And now when we navigate to this page, you'll see we now have the buttons. And we're no longer taking quite all the space, although it's obviously very large. Cool. Now let's hook up the video so we can play the video when we hit the play button. So first I'm going to set a name on this image, and we'll call it the video preview. And then we'll create another element called media element. We'll set the source on that media element to the swimming.wmv file, which we have. We'll tell the video once it's loaded to let us control it manually. Finally, we'll set a name on the element for video. But finally, we'll set the visibility to collapse. And what this does is hides the video at first when it's not playing. Now, in order to play this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a click handler. What I've done is I've set the click property to play, the click event to play. So if we open now the CS file, we can see here if I create a new method, so void play. So this method handler, let's go ahead and just put a breakpoint here. And you can see that now that I'm running the program, once I navigate to the page and hit the play button, we actually invoke the debugger. And this is something very powerful that I can actually debug the application even though it's running in the browser. So we'll just do something very simple here where I'll take the video preview. I'll set its visibility first to visibility.collapsed. I'll take the video and make it visible by setting its visibility to visible. And then finally, I'll tell the video to play. Once again, go to the page, we hit play, and now we see I've messed up one last thing. And let me just, the thing I forgot to do here, my fault, was tell this video to copy to the output directory. And what this does is lets us copy to it as if this were on the web, go ahead and reference it instead of embedding it as a resource. And when I hit play now, we see the video and we see the jump. And that's it for part 4. Thank you very much.